Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're having a lovely day. Wanted to put this intro on the beginning of the next episode. The Asian Empowerment event was just an amazing opportunity to be able to share some thoughts. Tuan and Susan had approached me to be able to be a part of it. They did a ton of the legwork and organization. We invited some others to participate. Trista then was able to lend her expertise. And so it was just an amazing opportunity to be able to share stories of empowerment. And so what you're going to hear are some different stories from individuals that I feel are super impactful, inspirational, but they go down through some dark paths, because in order for these people to show you how they were empowered, they needed to share with you what they went through. And so that is extremely important for you to understand, is that there's no perfect life, that a lot of us are struggling through things. And so I want, as you listen to these different stories, to think about these people that were sharing their stories and how they felt empowered, whether it was physical loss, financial ruin, grief. There's a multitude of just different human emotions that were shared on Saturday. Many tears were expressed and shed in order to let go of these things, in order to be vulnerable, to be the authentic version of you. Sometimes it's necessary to go through the pain in order to find the pleasure. Sometimes we must accept our circumstances and realize this is where we are. Before we jump into all those stories, let's hear a word from our sponsor. Good morning, everybody. Sherm here, the Crazy Asian. Hope you're having a lovely day. It's Tuesday, December 10th, 2019. Wanted to be able to just recap some of the great stories that I heard at the Asian Empowerment event. If you weren't able to make it, there was Susan, then there was Tuan, and then we had on the panel discussion Jenny, and finished it off with Annette. And so I wanted to share those four stories with you today. I'm going to first start with Susan, who you might have heard if you're a longtime listener to this Crazy Asian podcast. We had her on in Sherm Speaking Series when I was interviewing Susan. This is back when I was living in Wisconsin. She was down here in Houston sharing her story. It was before she actually got her book written, One-Armed But Not Unarmed. And so let's talk a little bit about what's going on here in the context of her story. So years ago, when she was 22 years old, she was out with friends, and it was a rainy night in Houston, and unfortunately she was driving, and when she hit a patch of water, a puddle of water, the car hydroplaned, and then she reacted, and unfortunately the car spun out of control. She was ejected from the vehicle, and in the turmoil of this the ensuing accident, a part of the car basically severed off her right arm and is eventually amputated in order to save her. And so as she lay there, in a sense lifeless from being thrown from that accident in that car, in what was meant to be probably the most painful experience of her life, losing a limb, she, as friends would come up and strangers, they would be, just the reaction, she could see it, their response, but she could hear nothing. Her body was in such shock. She just lay there. And what then ensued after having her dominant right arm amputated was the road to recovery, learning to do things like getting ready for the day, learning to write all over again. So here she was at 22, trying to do things that she used to do, when in reality, she couldn't do it. So there was a major amount of grief in the loss of this arm. There was a definite feeling of loneliness, of emptiness, of having to redefine herself, because she did base a lot of her confidence at the age of 22 on being a pretty attractive young woman. And now she didn't feel attractive. She felt ugly. She felt deformed. And unfortunately, she started to make some really poor choices and started self-medicating these emotions with drugs and alcohol. And then one evening she's out with friends at the bar, and this is when she used to wear a prosthetic. And what basically ensued that she remembers is there she was then sitting handcuffed at the outside of the bar with the prosthetic off, and it was bloodied. And she was taken to county and given community service. She's still being somewhat rebellious, didn't show up to community service, and then found herself incarcerated for a short period of time. And there was so many days that were riddled with tears. She just hoped that there would be a day that wasn't full of tears. And there was one day in particular that she remembered that what she felt was rock bottom for herself. That she just wanted to be better because she felt so bitter. And so that really became the tagline for her. She felt empowered as she realized she had to work through the pain, as she realized she had to accept her new normal. She realized that she did have the strength to go through what she was going through. That truly tough times are for tough people. And so that was Susan's story. The next that came up was Tuan. Tuan unfortunately lived in a household where there was high expectations, some unrealistic expectations. The expectation to him be a doctor, to excel at school. And so that pressure came down in these high level of expectations from parents, not really based in reality. conversations that basically he was not living up to where he should be. And unfortunately, he found acceptance in a gang. And that gang then introduced him to drugs. And unfortunately, drugs introduced him to being a street pharmacist, aka a drug dealer. And then he found himself in and out of jail three different times. And the last time he was in jail, he realized he wanted to just work on personal development, to be a better person. And lo and behold, a year later, here he was speaking at this Asian Empowerment event about 100 or 110 days after being released from prison. He was speaking on stage with John Maxwell and also the president of John Maxwell International. And so he's focused on helping people in prisons, helping educate the youth who might, like himself, find themselves aimlessly wandering, looking for acceptance, and hopefully can help them avoid it, finding solace or acceptance in the wrong crowd. And the next person that was on stage was Jenny. Jenny, unfortunately, at the age of 14, found herself in the world of drugs, found herself sexually assaulted. At the age of 16, the poor choices continued, and she found herself as a teen mom at the age of 16. And she shared the story of, she shared the story of sexual assault to be able to encourage any parents that were in the audience, or any soon-to-be parents or future parents, to make sure that they are open to those conversations to their children. She remembers very vividly. She doesn't know how, but she mustered up the courage to tell her mom when she was 14 that she was sexually assaulted while in a car ride. And her mom looked at her away from the road, looked back at the road, and didn't mention a word. And at a time where Jenny felt her body shouldn't feel those things, she felt so violated. She didn't want to become a victim. She wanted to be a victor in this. And then at 16, she debated whether to keep the baby or not to keep the baby. And at 16, she knew the stats were up against her. But she decided that if it's going to be, it's going to be the two of them, her unborn baby and herself. At the age of 19, she decided to open up a coffee shop with her mom. And unfortunately, poor decisions. Coffee shop was closed and shut down. She was evicted, living in her car. And she remembers holding her 3-year-old son and making a promise to him that she would do whatever she could to make sure that he's provided for. And so, yes, she works 6, sometimes 7 days a week. She's had 2 jobs multiple times, and she's had a goal to make sure that she could open up her own salon at the age of 30. And she did. In that car, when she made that promise to her son, one of the things that she had to do was reach out for help. She had to swallow her pride and reach out to people that had already abandoned her for her disappointment, to the disgrace of the family, to the lack of honor that she brought. So she reached out to a father who had disowned her due to her life choices. And she swallowed her pride and she asked if he could help her and help his grandson, who he had never seen, who is now 3 years old. And he ended up swallowing his pride as well and loaned her the money and opened up his house. And so it's interesting where these difficult moments for Jenny, she found greater strength. The final person that spoke was Annette. Annette shared her story of being the youngest of 8 children in a very difficult household. She, unfortunately, at the age of 4, had a terrible accident that almost cost her life. Basically had broken her lip, and in the surgery to repair it caused a very bubbly appearance to her lip, very, very noticeable as a child. And so, unfortunately, she was ridiculed constantly at school. And unfortunately at home, she too was verbally abused, and unfortunately lived in a household of tremendous, tremendous violence. A home full of anger. Sometimes if arguments ensued, that means guns were being drawn, physical blows exchanged, father beating on mother. It was not a happy place. And so she was battling it on both fronts. Abuse at home and ridicule at school, bullying at school. And she didn't know where to turn. She decided to just be quiet. And unfortunately, in that moment of complete submissiveness, she, through her life, has been treated sometimes as a doormat. And just recently, last year, after she had her 2nd child, postpartum depression, she decided to seek some professional help. She was able to get the help that she needed to be able to accept and move through and accept her past, not allow that to define her, not allow those shameful moments, those moments of despair, define her. One of the things that she felt she needed to do was to confront the monster in her life, who was her father, of all the horrible things that he had done to the family and to her. Unfortunately, at this point, he's now moved back to Vietnam. So she took that plane ride to get some semblance of normalcy for herself and found growth. But it's not been an easy road. And so all these stories are about finding yourself, about accepting who you are, about being better, about being able to find truly who you want to be, and allowing yourself to feel empowered far beyond where someone currently is, and not allowing themselves to be defined by what they aren't, not be allowing themselves to be defined by how others are treating them. Truly, the value of a human soul is infinite because it is untapped. It is amazing. And so as you think about for yourself, for all those that were in the audience, it's an opportunity for us to, for ourselves to feel empowered, to feel like we can control certain things. I will tell you this, the one thing that we can control is our own attitude and how we react to different life circumstances. And so you and I don't need to be coming from horrible situations in order to feel empowered. But whatever we might be dealing with, we have an opportunity to definitely, as Susan put it, to be better and not bitter, and to be able to not allow, as Tuan talked about, not allow the prisons in our minds or the prisons of our own limitations confine us and stop us from growing. And nor, like Jenny, can we allow ourselves to have our pride be the reason that we don't ask for help, or like Annette, seek professional help when we feel like there's nowhere else to turn. Life in all its majesty is glorious, but it is sometimes filled with pain and anguish and will rock someone to their knees. In this, I hope each of you can find the strength to be empowered. Sherm's out.